Ed Grable shared with me right before we were getting ready to worship that he had heard at one point that this was the original Nick at Night passage of Scripture. And I got a chuckle out of it. And then as I thought about it, I realized more and more that he was absolutely right. Not only was this Nicodemus visiting Jesus at night, but it was also an oldie but a goodie. And it's a rerun that many of you have heard before. And one of the unfortunate things about all the reruns that we see is that we have an expectation of what it is before we get to it. And so we know the punchline before we've heard the joke. Reruns are familiar, but unfortunately, familiar also means that we don't always pay attention to what's happening within the passage itself. And so it was one of these incredible moments where Ed shared that with me, and then as I cycled it more and more, I realized that it was the point that God wanted me to share with you today, which is simply that when we read this passage, we stampede to John 3:16. Our typical thing is that we go right to what we think is the main quote. Now, part of what I want to share with you today is that's not the main quote of this passage. And if we make it the main quote, if we forget everything that goes before, then we make the same mistake that Nicodemus did. Then we allow the rerun to cause us to ignore the story that Jesus is trying to tell us through the gospel. You see, part of our problem is that we know too much to be changed. When we know too much, when we know where we're going, we stop paying attention to the lessons along the way. And Nicodemus was one of these people who knew too much. Now, as a person who has knowledge, that knowledge can be dangerous because it could fix us in a location. It could cause us to believe that our knowledge is our strength. Now, what we have to realize in our world is that our knowledge is not why God is sending us into the world. I have a tough time with that because I've spent most of my life building my knowledge. You see, I'm a human encyclopedia. You know, you ask me a fact and I usually can pull it out. You know, my kids come up to me and they ask me questions and they expect an answer. They think I'm going to know it most of the time. And so at least I have to fake it until I can figure it out. But the reality is that we're not here for what we know. We're here for who we follow. And Jesus is calling followers that he wants to lead. Now, following means having to keep up when Jesus changes direction. Following means making sure that you're focused on Jesus and God and not focusing on the things and the knowledge that you have. Nicodemus begins correctly. He comes to Jesus and he shares this declarative statement. He says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God." Now, what that means is that Nicodemus is acknowledging Jesus' bona fides as a prophet. He's not saying that we know you're the Son of God. He's saying we know you are a teacher who speaks God's word. What you say is true. And that's a very powerful statement, isn't it? It's a statement that Jesus is to be trusted because he has shown the signs and he has created wonders and he has preached a gospel that seems to be biblically valid to Nicodemus. To put it bluntly, Nicodemus sees Jesus as a worthy source of information and knowledge about God. We know that in the world around us, there are unworthy resources, right? We know that there are textbooks that are worthy and there are web resources that are unworthy, right? Kids would not get a passing grade if all they quoted was Wikipedia. They need to have something more worthy of a resource, right? We know that. And so we try to go to worthy resources. And what Nicodemus is recognizing is that Jesus is a worthy resource. And he's going to seek wisdom from a godly man. But Jesus hits him with a statement that Nicodemus can't deal with. His next statement is essentially a non sequitur. It doesn't make sense to the statement that Nicodemus has said. Nicodemus is expecting wisdom, but he doesn't like the wisdom that he receives. Jesus responds, it says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, this is in keeping with what Nicodemus just said, right? Nicodemus says Jesus is a true resource. And so Jesus says, I am telling you the truth. You can't see the kingdom unless you're born again. But this seems ridiculous to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is seeing this as a step too far. He says, how can a man be born when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Now, one can say that Nicodemus is taking Jesus maybe a little bit too literally in this. But Nicodemus is also recognizing that what Jesus is asking him to do is to give up what he knows and to recognize that he is not who he thinks he is as far as his knowledge and his wisdom and his power. You see, Jesus is asking Nicodemus to start over again. Nicodemus wants new insights. He wants new facts and new information. But Jesus wants to give him new eyes, new vision, a new spirit, and a new life. Like us, Nicodemus is a product of his knowledge. He knows where God has been. He knows God's word. But he doesn't understand God's direction. He doesn't know where God is going and what God wants to do with the knowledge. Some people have the knowledge of God, but they don't have the heart of God. They understand what God has done, and they're encyclopedic in their understanding of the scripture. But they don't truly know what God loves and who God loves. Many of these people who become encyclopedic in the knowledge of God become strict with the rules. They understand, they become very strong in Bible classes and studies, but they become very weak in dealing with people in the real world. We have an incredible amount of knowledge, but not an incredible amount of love. And one of the unfortunate things is that many in the church, as their knowledge goes up, their love tends to go down. You may have noticed this, that some of the best teachers are sometimes not the best lovers of God and of people. Because we tend to crowd out our heart for Jesus when we have that hunger for the knowledge of God. Nicodemus is not seeking a new life. He's seeking nuance in his teaching. He's not seeking transformation. He's seeking editing. And he does not want new eyes, but he just wants his lenses corrected. You see, Nicodemus is there to be finished, but Jesus is telling him that he has to be born again. Now think about that for a moment and recognize that being born again is to start from the beginning. And Nicodemus thinks that all he has to do is work out a little bit of the rough edges. How many times is that us? Where we think that we just need a little correction, but God wants to do a rebuild. God wants to start from the structure up and wants to tear down what we think is so well built. It's dangerous thinking, and it's frightening for those of us who are seeking to follow God. The danger is simply this. We've been following for so long. Are you to tell me that we're doing it wrong? There's the possibility that we are. Friedrich Buechner wrote this, and it's fascinating because I teach a class for the denomination in theology. And yesterday we were looking at this book, and I read to them this quote. I had prepared it for you, and I read it to them because it's one of my favorite quotes in one of Buechner's books. And he writes this: faith is better understood as a verb than as a noun, as a process than as a possession. It is an on-again, off-again, rather than once for all. Faith is not being sure where you are going, but going anyways. A journey without maps. Tillich says that doubt isn't the opposite of faith. It's an element of faith. Now, Buechner understands where many, many people in the church live when he says that faith is better understood as a verb than a noun. Because to many people, especially those of us who are citizens of the Protestant Reformation, we think of faith as something that we acquire. It's something that we hold on to. Our faith makes us well. And we forget that faith is a journey. That faith is walking behind a pillar of fire and of smoke. That faith is obedience through storms. That faith is hearing the still small voice in the cacophony of the world. Faith is going where God has directed us and following a promise that's yet to be revealed. When Abraham follows God, it's by faith that he's saved. But his faith makes him leave his home and everything that he has known to go to a new land to begin again. This is a story that Nicodemus knew well. But he forgot that Abraham's faith caused him to be born again in a new world with a new name and a new identity. Leaving everything you were is to be born again. Rejecting your past, walking away from your name. All of these things are part of being born anew. Lent is a season in which we are asked to do weird things. And some of us reject the season because of it. You know, people during the season of Lent, they do things like fasting. Faithful people sometimes say, well, I've got faith. Why should I have to fast? Well, Lent focuses on discipline and obedience, focuses on learning and prayer. And a lot of people that hold on to faith as an object, they don't feel like they need to do those things. Those things are obstacles because we know what we believe. And yet Lent puts those obstacles before us and says, no, but God says to fast. God says to walk this way. God says that nothing should be before me. And yet we pray with our phone in our hands like our kids at the dinner table, right? We're having our prayer time, but we're really scrolling and we're looking at clickbait, you know. You know, the top 10 ways to fish and number 4 is a really incredible one. You know what I'm talking about? Those things that get us down rabbit trails, that make us see things that we shouldn't. Everything in our life is a distraction. But we know better. We're good enough. We can do things because we're mature. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus, a mature man, an elderly citizen, a teacher of the law, a Pharisee, highly respected as a man of knowledge. And Jesus trips him up by telling him, "You must be born again." It seems so childish to be new, to be helpless, to be in need. But that's where we all stand today. That's where this crescendos to. You see, if you run to John 3:16, you miss why John 3:16 is so important. Because in order for us to know where we are going, we need to be following God in all that we do. We're in the midst of living a mystery in this life. And the more we think that we know where we're going, the less we're going to look for leadership. You see, leadership is only necessary if you don't know where you're going. You only need to follow someone if you don't know what's ahead. If you think that you know what you're doing with your retirement, then you're never going to seek out a counselor to help you with your investments. If you think you know what you're doing with your health care, then you're never seeking a doctor. Because you know. You think you know enough. And you lose so much because your wisdom isn't as wise as you think it is. When you think you know, then you're not asking God to lead. And that's where Nicodemus found himself. It's where the Jews found themselves. And unfortunately, many times it's where the church finds itself. We're leading without following. From the top down, we have to acknowledge that we don't know our tomorrows. And that we follow God by God's grace and through God's leading. Sometimes God moves and changes things very rapidly. And we see that in our own personal lives, but we don't always recognize it as God leading us. It puts us to a place of humility, to a place where we have to recognize that we're God's children. And seriously, we're God's children. We have to learn to see with new eyes. We have to learn that the voyage of life is to see as God sees and not as we do. To see through the poetry of God's actions in the world. And to follow one step at a time instead of mapping out a path to our destiny. My children are at the age where they're trying to figure out what to do with the rest of their lives. And oftentimes they come to me for wisdom. And I'm not helping them very much. And the reason I'm not helping them very much is because they want an answer to what their future is going to be. And I'm not giving them an answer. It's an intentional non-answer that I'm not giving them. Because the truth is that when I went to college, I knew who I was going to be. I knew who I wanted to be. And today I stand before you nowhere near what I thought I was 25 years ago, 30 years ago when I started the journey. I stepped into college and God changed me. He transformed what I wanted. He transformed where my path was going to go. He turned me from a doctor to a pastor. Believe me, it was not a journey I anticipated, nor did my family. But I was changed. And even to this day, the difficulty of the transformation is that I no longer lead myself. I'll never forget my father's statement to me when I told him I was going to go into ministry. He said, as a dentist, you can control your future. That's what he told me. As a pastor, you'll never control your future. And I said to him, I know, Dad. That's why I'm becoming a pastor. God is going to have to control my future. That was the day that I was born again. Now, we understand that being born again is a salvation experience. And I was saved far before then. But there comes a time when you have to see with God's eyes. You have to feel with God's heart. You have to put aside some of the things that the world wants to put before you. And you have to understand where God is leading you. That's where John 3:16 comes in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the path that Jesus is taking Nicodemus down is a path where he has to finally come to the understanding of one simple truth. Nicodemus isn't who he's supposed to be now. He has more to go. He has followed the path that he believes to be righteous, but he hasn't understood the desperate need that he has for a Savior. That only through God and only through God's Son can we truly be led on the path that God wants us. Only through the radical obedience that we experience in Jesus Christ. Only through taking Christ's wounded hand and walking through our wounded life can we truly find the path that God has given to us. I am helpless without my Lord and Savior. And so are you. We're children. We're not the adults that we want to be. And each of us are at our best when we acknowledge that we are not leaders, but we're followers. My favorite quotation from Paul is when Paul tells people to follow him by saying it this way. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. And what Paul is recognizing is that at his best as a leader, he is a follower. And as at our best as leaders, as our at our best as teachers, at our best as preachers and prophets, is comes the first statement that we are followers of Jesus Christ. And that every day we turn our attention to him and find where Christ is leading us, and that's where we go. That's where First Baptist Church needs to go in the coming months and years. Follow me as I follow Christ. And as we follow Jesus together, we see less of us and more of him. We see faith as a journey and not as a thing to hold. We see love as the way of the kingdom, if not the way of the world. We see sacrifice as an expectation, not a failure. We see community as a necessity, not as a bonus. And we see Jesus as Lord and Savior, not friend and helper. God is trying to open your eyes to something new. It's very difficult, but it's possible. Because in Jesus Christ, God has broken through into the world. And through the Holy Spirit, God continues to change lives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We are here to share the kingdom and to follow the King. Let us pray. Lord God, you have sent your Son into the world to open the eyes of those of us who thought we could see. You sent your Son into the world to change hearts of those who thought we were loving. You've sent your Son into the world to show the character of God to those who thought we knew you already. You've sent your Son into the world to share salvation to those who thought that they were healed. You've sent your Son into the world to change us and to transform us into your children. Lord God, the Jews who encountered you were offended because they were already children of Abraham and of God. And you understood that they were offended, and you pushed them anyways. And today many of us stand offended at the expectation that we would follow, that we would kneel to you, that we would serve others for your sake, that we would sacrifice, that we would also be followers. Lord God, help us to be your children. Help us to follow your path and your way. Help us to be obedient servants in all that we do. For the sake of Christ our Lord, for the sake of the kingdom, and so that we might live the gospel. Lord God, we do not follow you because we must. We follow you because it is good, because it is loving. We follow you because it is godly. We follow you because you are right and true. We follow you because your love changes our world and makes it brand new. We follow you because only in you can we find hope. Lord God, change our lives, open our eyes, and renew our strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask it all. Amen.